how we're supposed to deal with each other.
Hello.
As Christians and that kind of stuff. And so, like I say, we're probably going to, what we're going to start in is 2 Samuel chapter 12. And a lot of you guys know this kind of story. It's about King David, right? Everybody kind of knows King David. If you don't know, I'll give you a little precursor. David is a man after God's own heart, but yet he ends up in some pretty compromising situations. He ends up killing a man. He ends up committing adultery with his wife. He lies. He makes this a big scene, and he ends up pretty much on the wrong side of the relationship that God wants to have with him. So that's who we're going to talk about tonight. And first of all, when we talk about backsliding, I was talking actually with John Roberts. I was had a little bit of time off, and I was visiting with John, and we started talking about this, and it kind of intrigued me. So that's kind of another reason why I decided to start talking about this. And basically, it's in chapter 11, the last verse. It says, "But the things that David did, David had done, displeased the Lord." And I know in my own personal life, I've been on the end of that statement too many times. As a Christian, you know, we, especially as, you know, a youth leader and that kind of stuff, I think, you know, you're definitely held to a higher standard. And too many times in my own life and too many times, I think, as a Christian, I end up making the wrong choices. I end up getting upset with my wife over stupid stuff. Say the wrong thing at work. You know, it just never seems to fail that that I'm going to be committing sins and in that backslidden posture. But here's my favorite part, the beginning. Even though all that stuff, it says, "Then the Lord sent Nathan to David." And just so you guys know what God wants from us and what God has planned is, he wants that relationship even though you're screwing up. Even though you've made mistakes. Even though you've... It keeps going down. No matter what situation you guys end up. When David committed adultery, there was no doubt in God's mind that he wanted him back. There wasn't any doubt in God's mind that when, after Uriah was murdered, that God wanted him back. And he sent his messenger to do that. So on my little note here, I said, God is the ultimate Marine. He said, God never leaves a man behind. No matter where you're at, no matter what you're doing, God's always going to come back and make sure that that you're on board, especially if you're a believer. And so he sent Nathan, and he was willing to send Nathan to David to bring that relationship back to the place that it was supposed to be in. And I know, and you know, I mean, Christ is that example for us too. I mean, God was willing to send Jesus Christ to renew and bring back that relationship that that he had, that we broke, that we lost. There was nothing that David did that merited sending Nathan. There was nothing that we do as Christians that merited sending Jesus to come save us. But God sent it. So that's my first point. It says when you're in a backsliding, God's responsibility, and God is always going to want to renew that relationship. I don't know about you guys. I went to Thanksgiving with my grandparents in Montana over this holiday, and it was actually really good. We had a good time for the first 3 days. And then Saturday came, and all kinds of old arguments came up, and basically, I'm not invited to Christmas. That's how bad it ended up. I've never punched a 7-year-old man, but I came close. like I say, it just, you know, we have this situation with my grandfather and business and old things that kind of come up and happen. And so anyway, I don't know where I was going with that. Sorry. Anyway, but here's the second part. So we know what God wants from us. We know what God's responsibility is and what God is intending to do when we're making mistakes and backsliding. But what do we do as other Christians? I know for me, I've been a lot more on the side of people coming and talking to me as opposed to going and talking to other people. But it is our job as Christians that when we see people in error, that we're supposed to say something. And I think Nathan is the second part of this verse. It says, "The Lord sent Nathan to David," which is the great part. And it said, "And he came to him and said to him." I don't know about you guys, but I've talked to my grandpa, to John Roberts. I've talked to my about my grandpa to five or six different people, but I haven't talked to my grandpa about my grandpa yet. It seems like that's the kind of thing we do when we have arguments and fights and that kind of thing. We never seem to go back to the people that we actually have those fights and arguments with. You know, I have no problem talking with Dave about my grandpa, but somehow, you know, it's tough to start that, to get that ball rolling with those family members or with those people that are kind of messing up. Seems like, anyway. I don't know. Am I the only one with that? No? All right. Seems, I wouldn't think so, but he didn't go, you know, Nathan didn't go to David's friend. He didn't go to Nathan's secretary. He didn't go to the baker, the cook, the chef. He didn't go to any of those guys. He goes right to David, and he tells his story to David. And that's one of the things, one of the requirements. If you're going to be a tool of God in changing somebody else's life, you need to talk to that person. If they have a sin in their life, you can't be talking to, you know, everybody in town about whatever that sin is. You have to go right to them. And that's, I think, an important key is if you're going to be used by God that way, make sure you talk to the people that are important to talk to. And let's see. And then the next part about, the next one I says is it says, pray about what your words are going to be. And make sure that you're being led by God and not your own thoughts. You know, he could have said, here's how my conversations, the few of them that I've had with my brothers or anything, you know, when they're messing up, like, why are you being stupid? You know, that's how my encouragement goes. You know, what's going on in your life? Why are you being dumb? You know, there's not really a whole lot of thought press behind that, or there's not a lot of compassion or understanding or opening up. It's always like right to the point, and I kind of have a little bit of a, I don't know, maybe a little too forward nature that way. But, you know, you got to make sure that the things that you're saying are from God. If you're really, if your intention is really to help this person out, then you want to make sure you pray. Sorry, lucky nobody's sitting in the front row there. A little slobber. But make sure that you're actually telling them words that come from God. And Nathan really does that. He hits that and he says, there were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. He says, the rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished. And it grew up, together with him and with his children. And it ate his own food and drank from his own cup. And it lay in his bosom. And it was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man. I need to get the big print. I'm 31 now, so any day. Time to upgrade to the big print. I don't know. I look, I say 30, 60. I think it's relative. And a traveler came to the rich man who refused to take him from his own. Wow! that's no joke there. Thank you. There's like three verses on each page. That's great. What verse was that? Okay. Now, a traveler came to the rich man who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. So, you know, he didn't just come out and blurt out this, like, statement, like, you know, hey, David, you're screwing up. Hey, David, we know about all this kind of stuff. He kind of lays out this plan. Because until you get somebody else to realize what their sins are, until you get somebody else to be able to look at themselves in a real light, you're never going to get to it. Too many times when we argue with people, it seems like the first thing we come out is with that aggressive, you're this way. And what's that person do? Clam up immediately. They feel attacked. They feel threatened. So the first thing that they end up doing is they close up. Now they don't want to talk to you. Now they don't want to hear what you have to say, whether it's good or bad. So that's one of those things. Make sure that you're praying. Make sure you're hearing exactly what God's telling you. Because when you bring it to him, if it's from God and delivered in the right way, I think a lot of times they hear. And like I say, David, he does. It says, so David's anger was greatly aroused against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die. It seems like when we're backsliding, sometimes we're kind of the last to kind of figure it out. He's still using God's name. He still is playing that church. You know what I mean? He thinks Nathan's coming here. He's hearing this story about this man. He's giving high fives to Nathan. Hey, dude, we're brothers. Yeah, surely as God lives, man, we're going to get this guy. You know, he's not really seeing the fact that, you know, Nathan's going to pull the rug out from underneath him, and basically there's not going to be any place to stand. So like I say, if you're going to go to somebody, make sure that you definitely pray about what you say and set the situation up. Let's see. Thank you. And he shall restore fourfold for the lamb, because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And then here it is. He says, then Nathan said to David, you are the man. And this is one thing that I think as Christians we kind of forget to do. We always sugarcoat the reality of what the situation really is. You know, hey, this is a problem. This person's sin in your life. You're sent to them. You're giving them the word. Ah, it's okay. It's really not that big of a deal. Ah, that's not that big of a deal. You know, God forgives you. You know, hey, you know, this, that, or the other. We kind of tend to sugarcoat the reality of the situation. You know, and that's one thing I love about Nathan is, I mean, he's going to pretty much, he's going to lay David out here. He says, but Nathan said to David, you are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel. This isn't Nathan saying it. He's bringing it right back to God. He said, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your keeping, and gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had not been, if that had been too little, I also would have given you much more. Why have you despised the commandments of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You have taken his wife to be your own, you have taken his wife to be your wife, and have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up adversity against you from your own house, and I will take your wives before you, before your eyes. This is a different version than mine. Is this King James?
Yep.
Is it? Take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbors. And he shall lie with your wives in the sight of this son. For you did secretly, but I will do these things before all Israel, before the son. So he doesn't sugarcoat anything. I mean, he pretty much like takes this giant heaping plate of exactly what happened, the facts, and lays it down at David's feet. And now David's forced to look at the situation with a clear eyes, clear mind. So we know what God is intending to do. He wants to bring us back to that relationship with him. We know what we're supposed to do as a Christian going to somebody else who seemed to be in trouble. But this is the part that I seem to find myself in most of the time, the person that's getting talked to. And this is really the key point to me about this lesson tonight, is that what do we do when we find ourselves in sin and now we're coming back? The first thing you got to have to know is that no matter what you do, you're going to reap what you sow. So we know that he's already laid down exactly what's going to happen because of the situation that he's found himself in. He's going to have to pay the price for the sins that he's getting. You know, just because God forgives him doesn't mean he's going to end up, that it's all kind of a wash. And so it says, so David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. If you guys have one thing you guys take out of this tonight, the only intelligent thing that I can possibly say to you is that if you humble yourself before God in whatever sins you guys are in, small, big, large, murder, adultery, whatever it may possibly be. If you humble yourself, God is, and lower yourself and realize that you have sinned against the Lord. This is, I've sinned against the Lord, and this is what happens. And Nathan said to David, "The Lord also has put away your sins, and you shall not die." So no matter what you're coming to, if you come to God with that humbleness, he's going to restore you back to that relationship that you have with him. You may still have to pay some consequences for that. But those things aren't going to go away. I put in here, I says, why do killers, adulterers, prostitutes, drug addicts, alcohol-addicted people, why do they seem to be always the people that seem to turn so quick? Why do those people seem to turn so quick once they've, you know, seemed to make a mistake? And when being from a celebrate recovery background, why is there so many transformation and changed lives through that? Now, anybody have an idea? Don't be scared. They're what? Their sins are seen the most? I think there's something else there, a little bit more personal. They've hit bottom. That's a good one. What I found in my personal life is I know I'm a scumbag. When you have somebody who is addicted to drugs, an alcoholic, somebody who's, a killer, a murderer, adulterer, all these things, there's no arguing the fact that I'm a sinner. There's no arguing the fact that I am, quote unquote, a loser. You know what I mean? And I am deficient in my life. And that's where David's at right here. He realizes when he laid all this down, there was no arguing the facts. The fact was, I screwed up. I've made some huge mistakes. And now what do I do? There was another king who ended up being, somebody sent to him, Moses. His name was Pharaoh, right? He ends up getting somebody sent to him, similar kind of a situation a little bit. He comes to Pharaoh and he starts talking, Moses starts talking to Pharaoh, lays down some things that God says, and can you put that slide up? I think it's Exodus 5 or something like that. But the first thing that he says once this prophet comes to him is and says, the Pharaoh says, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go." It's that pride that stops them from making a choice. I don't know if Pharaoh was a great guy. I'm sure there's probably some people that said he was. But in Pharaoh's eyes, he was a good guy. You know, Pharaoh didn't, I don't think he thought himself as evil. I don't think he thought of himself as bad. I think Pharaoh was a good guy. I think most of you guys are good people. Maybe not you. But I think most of us are good people at church. I think most of us live in this life that we're good people. And I think on the most part we are. You know, we don't commit the bad sins, adultery, murder, drugs. You know, we're not stuck in, we don't seem to be stuck in those. But how easy is it to get stuck in pride? And I just want you guys to know that one, pride is the only thing that's going to end up separating you. You will be in a fallen, in a backslidden state sometime in your Christianity, sometime in your walk with God. You will be laying on your back and you'll be wondering how to get back up. I don't care if you're a new Christian, it obviously probably won't be today, but if you've been in the faith for any amount of time, eventually you're going to get knocked down. You're going to get floored. And when God comes to you, he brings somebody to you, you have two options. And this is the only thing that I think is a salvational issue when it comes to this kind of stuff. I don't think any sin you commit will ever separate you from God. But I think that pride will. I think if you reject the offer that God gives you to come back to him, to repent, if you do that over and over again, just like we see in Pharaoh's life, every time Moses come back to him 10 times, the first 5 it said that Pharaoh hardened his heart. The second 5, it says God hardens Pharaoh's heart. So, you know, I don't think there's any sin that God can't forgive, but I do think that, are we at, what time is it?
Wow.
Huh? 45 minutes? You really? So we're going to have lunch after this or dinner. But, yeah, but anyway, there's no sin that's going to separate us from God. But if we're not willing to go back and ask for forgiveness, if we're not willing to go back and repent once God's brought us to that point, I think then and only then do you actually could possibly, you know, lose your salvation. I don't even know if that's really possible, because I think if you're loving God and doing that kind of stuff, when that opportunity comes, you're going to want to repent. You're going to want to get things right with God. So, but anyway. So let's go ahead and go on. So David definitely sees his errors. He's made this this very huge statement. You know, I have sinned against the Lord, and Nathan tells him that that God has put your sins away. It says, however, because by this deed you have given great occasion for the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme the children, the child also who is born to you shall surely die. Then Nathan departed to his house. Like I say, we talked about this a little bit just a few minutes ago. You're not going to escape. Even though you have, God has brought you back, even though those sins is more than happy to forgive, you're going to unfortunately suffer the consequences of those things. You're going to have, just for me personally, you're going to have, if you're mean to your wife and you yell at her, you're going to have consequences for yelling at your wife. Lord, I know that one. But, and you're going to find yourself having to apologize a lot. And like I say, and those things don't go away, and it takes a lot of times years. And if you read further on in that chapter, you actually find that there's some pretty bad things end up happening with David. And this one instance actually makes trouble for him for the rest of his life until the day he dies, and gives obviously his kingdom to his son Solomon. So that's pretty much what I had today. If I don't know, obviously, if anybody is suffering with sins right now in their life, I know that it might have been better to get Nathan to come up here and talk to you guys, but God sent me. He's got a sense of humor, don't he? So if there is those kind of sins and you guys need to talk to somebody about it, like I said, I'm always here. And if you have 5 minutes, I can spill my guts, because I have more sins than I know what to do with. So, but let's go ahead and pray. And wow. Seemed like I had more written down. This is great, church in 30 minutes and done. All right, let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll go ahead and maybe sing a couple songs or something. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. I just pray that you'll give us all that heart of repentance, that the little situations in our life and the big ones, that we'll just turn those back over to you. Help us heal those broken hearts. I pray for my grandpa right now. We're kind of at odds, and you know my heart and you know his, and sometimes pride definitely plays a part in getting back together. So I just pray that you soften both of our hearts. Help me give him the respect he deserves. And I just pray that as we go out tonight, that we'll leave all those sins and habits and hang-ups or things that we're struggling with, we'll leave them here in the church and give them to you. Because I certainly can't handle them on my own. Thank you so much for dying for me, for giving me a place to unload these burdens. And I just pray that you'll be with us as we go. And I pray especially for the youth, and just keep them safe and keep them hungry for your word. Thank you for everything you've done for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. That's it. It seemed like there was a whole bunch more there. I don't know. I read this thing with 5 minutes. That took me like 4 hours of studying, But what are you going to...
Let's all stand.
Oh Lord, you're beautiful. Your faith is all I see. And your eyes are on this child. Your grace to me. Oh Lord, your face is all I see, and when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me. Oh Lord, please light the fire, which once burned bright and clear. Replace the lamp of my first love with burnable fear. Oh Lord, you're beautiful. Your face is all I see. And when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me. And when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me.
Lord, we're just so thankful for your grace and your love and your tender mercies, Lord God. Lord, go with us as we fellowship, Lord. Just may your spirit rest upon us, guide us and lead us, Lord. Lord, that we would just give us opportunities, Lord, to share with our family, Lord, to share with friends and neighbors this Christmas. Lord, may we be like the prophet Isaiah and say, Lord, use me. Lord, here I am. Lord, don't pass me by. Lord, may we be used by you. In Jesus' name, amen.